Prayer.
Our first reading this morning is from the book of Amos, chapter 7, verses 1 through 13.
May the words of my mouth, the meditations of our
The prophet Amos was a fiery character,
the actions of our
who
lives,
grew up a shepherd,
be acceptable
but felt
in
the
your
call
sight,
of God to speak the truth to the powerful ruling elite in his day. The nation had become successful economically and militarily, and the religious leaders had become very comfortable. Amos believed that they had lost the compassionate edge of the faith.
The year is somewhere
he believed
around
that if they
the
continued ignoring the needs of the poor and vulnerable,
BCE,
the core of what made them great would rot.
Israel
he predicted this
never
and was very
stronger.
Unpopular for it.
Economically,
today's reading is a piece of this prediction, and the priest Amaziah
never been
reacts
more
strongly
self-reliant.
To his words.
Every other period in their history,
this is what the Lord God showed me.
Always contingent on
he was forming locusts at the time the latter growth began to sprout.
But now,
it was the latter growth after
under
the king's
great
mowings.
King Jeroboam II,
when they had finished eating the grass of the land, I said,
expanded,
O Lord God, forgive, I
their
beg
whole
you.
Life
how can
has,
Jacob stand?
Has stabilized.
He is so
they
small.
They have this gorgeous temple.
The Lord relented
which
concerning
the religious
this.
Life is majestic,
it shall not be, said the Lord.
The ruling class.
This is what the Lord God showed me.
Are wealthy.
The Lord God was calling for a shower of
good.
Fire, and it devoured the great deep and was
but
eating up the land. Then I said,
the rulers
O Lord God, cease, I beg you.
Cannot or perhaps
how can Jacob
are not
stand?
Willing
he is so
to
small.
See.
The Lord relented
so
concerning
the nation
this.
As a whole,
this
wealthy,
also
but
shall
not
be,
in it is.
Said the Lord God.
No, many
this
are poor.
This is what he showed me.
The landless.
The Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line.
People who have lost connection
with a plumb line in his hand.
Family, that is
and the Lord
the
said to me,
structure of the
Amos,
social safety net. Widows,
what do you see?
Folks,
and I said, a plumb line.
Are desperate.
Then the Lord said,
poor.
See, I am setting
it,
a plumb line in the midst of my people
time
Israel.
Of prosperity.
I will never again pass them by.
Poverty.
The high places of Isaac shall be made
and
desolate,
that time
and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste.
From the south,
and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword.
About what he sees.
Then Amaziah,
he
the priest
to talk
of Bethel, sent to King Jeroboam of Israel, saying,
people in
Amos
society.
Has conspired
he
against you in the very center of the house of Israel.
In the town square,
the land is not able to bear all his words.
Bethel.
For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword,
and
Israel
life.
Must go into exile away from his
the
land.
Wealth of some while the hungry poor go without.
And Amaziah said to Amos, O seer,
and he says,
go.
That in fact,
flee away to the land of Judah.
Gorgeous, majestic,
earn your bread there
religious observance,
and prophesy there. But never again prophesy at Bethel,
that you're hoping will
for
please,
it is the king's
will,
sanctuary,
the will please the
and
heart
it is a
of
temple
God.
Of the kingdom.
Are not just misguided.
Our gospel reading is from John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11.
Prayer without compassion
leaders of
is
Jesus
worse
day
than no prayer at all.
Wanted to test him to see if they could create
sacrifice
a case against him in
the
law of Moses.
From the sacrifice needed to
could
feed
they trip him up?
Hungry folk is not
callously,
to
they
God
brought a woman
no.
to him who had been caught in adultery.
It's abhorrent.
She had
God.
Broken the law of Moses.
The kinds of words he's
surely
used.
This man of compassion
and as we
will
heard
not
today,
be able to hold
says,
Moses' law on this one.
And God will
his
not
response
ignore
is
it.
A complete surprise. Then
well,
each of them went home.
History
while Jesus went to the Mount
that,
of Olives.
Over and over again.
Early in the morning,
the role of prophet,
he
well,
came again
kind
to the
of
temple.
Difficult gig to
all
draw.
The people came to him, and he sat down and began
to
teach
truth
them.
Speaker. And in
the
Amos's
scribes
case,
and the Pharisees brought a woman
who had
been caught in adultery.
Priest,
and making her stand before all of them,
the
they
of
said
faith.
To him, Teacher,
we don't want to
this
hear
woman
it.
Was caught in the very act
go
of committing adultery.
Speak
now,
to
in
them.
The law, Moses commanded us to stone
we
such women.
We would rather practice a comfortable
now,
denial
what do you say?
Than an uncomfortable
they said
truth.
This to test him, so they might have some charge to bring against him.
Last week,
Jesus bent down
I began a
and wrote with his finger on the ground.
On the topic of change.
When they kept on questioning
the one
him,
constant
he straightened up
life.
And said to them,
the one ingredient
let anyone
in life
among
that you can
who is without sin
to show
be the
up.
First to throw a stone at her.
And we've called this series,
and once again,
Living Between
He bent down and wrote on the ground.
Hope. In times
when they
of change,
heard it, they went away.
In that
one by one,
liminal
beginning
time
with
between
the elders,
the way things were,
and Jesus was left alone
over,
with the woman standing
and the way
before
things are
him.
Going to be, which has not yet arrived.
Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman,
we live between
where
memory
are they?
And hope.
Has
not
no one
just
condemned you?"
Living,
she said,
between the way
no
it
one,
was,
sir. And Jesus
and
said,
the way
"Neither do
some
I
would
condemn
predict
you.
It to be, or the way
go
it
your
might
way."
Be.
And from now on,
but
do not sin
living
again.
Living between the way we remember it.
Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
The meaning that we have taken from it. And the way we long for it to be. Hope. We could look at change as something that we simply cope with, engaging whatever organizational and psychological strategies that we can to manage change. You've heard about that, right? Managing change. But no, we're choosing to live between memory and hope, living alive, perched between what we have taken from our past and all it has meant to us, and hope, not just the future as it will be, but the future fulfillment of God's dreams for life. The Creator's dream for the creation. So we're coming at change, as I said last week, accepting life's impermanence, leaning on God in faith, and letting our imagination work on the changes that we face. Back to Amos for a second, and his tangle with the priest of the day, Amaziah. Amos is calling for change. He's pulling an Al Gore and tossing an inconvenient truth into the public arena to see what happens. In the process, he reveals the first stumbling block that we all experience when change is called for. And that is our inclination towards denial. Denial is that very human reaction to a truth that's likely gonna hurt. We all know about it because we all do it at one time or another. A loved one dies and we can't believe it. We just can't believe it. We get a diagnosis and it just doesn't feel real. The report comes in on the roof problem, and the potential price tag of $1 million that goes with it. And we say, no way. No, that's not, no. That's impossible. I can't believe that. That's what I thought. That's where I went. Seriously? $1 million? Denial is actually a kind of bread in the bone reaction that makes total sense as a short-term survival strategy. In the midst of rapid and really disruptive change, denial actually helps us to hunker down and get through that first stage of, I can't believe this. You know, it helps us function. If you've ever felt numb having received news, that's denial at its best. Really handy. The reaction that buffers us from the immediate full impact of something. However, as an adaptive long-term strategy, denial is deadly. As a response to real and lasting changes, changes that are not going to go away, changes that reach deep into our life, into our society, changes that touch our soul, denial on the long haul is not going to serve us. It's truth. It's truth that we need. But as we saw with Amos, truth tellers aren't always very popular. It might have helped if Amos was a little less edgy in his message. Just saying. Jesus had his edginess at times, but in this moment in the gospel reading when he came up against the scribes and the Pharisees, as they brought a woman caught in adultery before him, all puffed up and self-righteous, he was a little more subtle with his truth. He could have said, "Curse on all your houses, you judgmental gits." He could have said that. It's kind of probably what he felt, right? What gives you the right to pass judgment on this woman? But no, no. He delivers the same truth slowly, drawing in the sand for a moment. They don't let up. So he stands up and he says, "Anybody here never sinned before? Step forward and toss the first stone." And then he looks away, draws in the ground for a moment, looks up, and one by one they've gone their way. He let their denial of their own participation in brokenness dawn on them slowly, but inescapably. You see, the antidote to denial is one of the great tasks of the soul: waking up, awakening. And our resistance to awakening is that sometimes reality, sometimes the truth, hurts. In the midst of change, there are always elements of the truth, the new reality, that hurt us. It doesn't matter what kind of change you're talking about. It's always there. I mean, even the birth of a child, we've been blessed by these beautiful new babies in our midst and these wonderful groggy looking parents, you know. A beautiful new reality, and you're dragging yourself. Yeah, okay, I won't go into it. The new job, great, means we gotta move. Oh, I mean, I'm sure you can think of examples in your life where a new change has had its biting elements to it. Every change, every new reality, every truth has that edge. Last week at our congregational meeting, our congregational forum to talk about the building and property situation, I noticed something. Notice that as we worked our way through each of the options before us, at the ones that are before us at this stage anyway, and we asked ourselves with each option, what excites you, what concerns you, what is the biggest change that you see to our congregation in this option, and what questions do you still have that are lingering around? We asked ourselves those four questions about each of them. Interestingly enough, if you step back and see the reaction in general, there wasn't a lot of excitement about any of the options. And I guess that's not surprising. I mean, none of us ever want to be in this situation. This isn't a situation we've asked for, we planned for, that we built towards. We didn't choose this. In fact, we have really good grounds for denial. Hey? Every reason to not want this change to be real. To want to wake up from this crazy dream and have it all go away. But actually, last week I saw us doing quite the opposite. And it was quite marvelous. We are in the midst of a really big change, and we're still figuring out the full truth of what it all means. But any way we cut it, we're facing it. But when we wake up in the midst of change, it's not just the painfulness of it that stares us in the face. Even if it's an unwelcome change, just as welcome changes are laced with things that bite, unwelcome changes are also laced with grace. No, the beautiful, graceful, poignant truth also comes alive as we wake up from denial. Yes, the roof situation is dire, but the leadership that has emerged is strong. Yes, there's water dripping between the chairs at the craft fair. But the community has a sense of humor and a joy in coming together, even when it's dripping around us. Yes, the financial consequences of this are likely to be huge, but our mission, our holy purpose, the love embrace that we are here for, to participate in with God, will not be brought to a halt. Wake up to that. The end of denial. Waking up hurts and heals at the same time. Isn't that a marvelous thing? It opens our hearts. It was true for Amaziah, for the Pharisees and scribes who walked away knowing a little better. It is true for the change that is happening in your life, whatever that might be. Because we're called to live life awake, feeling the joy and pain, because God is found in both. As that wonderful hymn with a Celtic tune goes, Spirit, open my heart to the joy and pain of living. As you love, may I love in receiving and in giving. May I weep with those who weep, share the joy of sister brother in the welcome of Christ. May we welcome one another to this joyous and perilous life. Awake. Amen.